It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 26. We're all the way to the 28th verse, but you'll be able to get an understanding of where we're studying there. So Acts chapter 2, verse 26 is where we're going to begin. And as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Again, our website is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And please that you would visit there. I have many studies there. I hope that you would enjoy them and just take your time, because there's many things there for you. Plan of salvation, our constitution. You'll know exactly where we stand and how we stand upon the Word of God. So please that you would take the time to do that. Now, I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 26. Acts 2, 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. What a scripture. So please, I'm glad that you've joined us today. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. I ask that you would guide and lead us very carefully, just that we can understand each word that applies to each and every heart. And I know, Father, that your word, when it goes forth, it never goes void. It'll touch our hearts. Now, the question is, do we listen, Father, and do we respond to you, or do we ignore your word? So, Father, we just ask you to make us alert, help us to listen, and help us to see what you have for each one of us today, because everyone is different. Your place in life is different. Your burdens are different. Your joys are different, and so you touch our hearts according to what we need. Thank you, Father, for your precious Holy Spirit that comes into our hearts the day we're saved, born again. So please, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We left off with a couple of verses of Scripture, and the last one that we read was Isaiah 5:14, And again, if you missed the program, you can go right to the website and go to Bible studies, and then you can find and go to the book of Acts, and you'll find these studies are there, so you can listen to them at any time that you'd like. And I hope that you do. It's so important that you enjoy these. And so the last one, and again, we went through Matthew 12:40. We're in 1 Peter 3:18-20. We were at Ephesians 4:7-10. We were in Isaiah 5:14. And now we're to Revelation 20. And so that's what we're going to enjoy today. And again, this is just finishing up the 27th verse of the chapter 2, verse 27 in Acts. So let's go to Revelation, and Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. We can even back up, and I think it's important just to read all this because it's concerning the great white throne judgment. And as we are back, and you don't have to go back there right now, but Acts chapter 2, verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And there are two sections, and that's what we've read about. There are back in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. We read the beautiful message there concerning the rich man and Lazarus, and it spoke of the two different departments, two different sections in the center of the earth, and that's where the folks that knew the Lord Jesus, trusted him as their Lord and Savior, even though he had not come to the cross yet, he'd not finished the work, but they came by faith, is what they did. They came by faith, knowing it was certain it was going to come, and they trusted in the coming Messiah, and so there was a place called paradise. And then there was also a place called torment. Now, all those that went to the place of torment, here's a judgment that's coming. And this judgment will come at the end of time as we know it. Right now, we're in the church age. And there's coming, and first of all, the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. In other words, everyone that has confessed that they're a sinner and accepted the Lord Jesus as their Messiah, for all those, they will be taken up and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. But those that have rejected that, do not believe that they're bad enough, they're good people, they're church people, they're, you know, but they've never acknowledged and never allowed the Holy Spirit to show them that they're a sinner and they're lost and they need a Savior. They've rejected the Holy Spirit when it convicted their heart of their sin. When you do that, then there's a place called the place of torment. And you will go to that place if you reject this free gift. You'll go to that place and you'll remain in that place from the day you die. You'll remain in that place until this point in time that we're speaking of here in Revelation. And so, next is the rapture of the church, those that are born again, saved. Then we have 7 years of tribulation that'll be here to be the last calling for the nation of Israel. What a horrible time it's going to be here on earth for that 7 years. I hope that you don't think that it's going to be okay, because it's not. It's going to be a horrible time. First 3.5 years, that old Antichrist is going to make things look pretty good, but that last 3.5 years is going to be a horrible time here upon earth. And then at the end of that period of time, we will come back with the Lord Jesus, and he will come and he will speak and he will destroy all that have rejected him. They will be cast into the place of torment. There's two events taking place here. At the rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation period, there will not be one saved person on earth at that time. And there's going to be 144,000 preachers that's going to come on the scene. But at the time of the beginning of the tribulation period, there's going to be not a saved person on earth. It's the same, only it's the opposite. At the end of the tribulation, after this judgment has taken place, the Lord Jesus come, spoke, destroyed all the enemies, all those that reject him. And we step into the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. Now that 1,000 years that takes place, during that 1,000 years, it begins with everyone that is saved. Those that are saved during the tribulation period will enter into the millennial reign of Christ. They will repopulate the earth. And all those that are born during that time have to make the same decision. The Lord Jesus during this time will rule with a rod of iron. He will be present. So you would think that everyone would trust him and everyone would see the truths that he's proclaiming and everyone would understand the need of salvation, the need to trust in the Lord Jesus and accept that they're born in sin, because you see, they still are during the millennial reign. At the end of this time, there's going to be a final judgment. And to not get too far into it here, the Satan will be handicapped, kind of handcuffed, so to speak. He's going to be put into a place where he is not free as he is now. And at the end of that, he will be loosed for a season. And we're going to find a multitude's going to follow him. So sad. And then comes this final judgment. That's where we're at here in Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, these that have rejected the Lord Jesus from all eternity, from the beginning of time. Cain will be one of them. All of the Old Testament that refused, all those that refused the day to get on the ark back in Noah's day, there were 8 souls is all that were saved. The rest of them all died and all went to this place of torment. And there was a great population upon this earth at that time. All those is part of this. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. God is a just God. He is a righteous God. And he will look at your works. The problem is that those works that are seen are as filthy rags, as the scripture tells us. The dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works, their works. Sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So when we look at this here, we find, I saw the dead, verse 12, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. You must have your name written in the book of life. There's only one way you can do that, only one way you can accomplish that, and that is to confess your sin right now as the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. Confess your sin. Say, Jesus, please, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I want the Spirit of God to deal with your heart today. And then I want you to accept that fact and then say yes to Jesus as your Messiah, your Savior. Please. Please. At Revelation 20, powerful, very powerful. Now, what this scripture is telling us back in chapter 2, verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Neither will I thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Corruption. Let's look at Acts 13. Same book we're in, Acts 13, verse 34 through 37. Acts 13, 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. As we read verse 28 back in Acts 2, we find that it is a quote from David from Psalms. Let's go back to Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16, verse 11, says, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That is the 28th verse. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Why is Peter quoting David? Is because all those Jews that are listening, all those Jews that are present at the day of Pentecost, they know about David. They know the Psalms. They know about King David. And because of the things that David said, Peter needs to confirm that it is not talking about David. Because David did see corruption. David went into the grave. David is there today. But Jesus isn't. And so David was not talking about himself. He was talking about the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And that's the point that Peter's making here. Because they know about David. And they know the words of David. And so Peter is bringing those words to life, showing that he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was going to come. Thou shalt make my joy, my me full of joy. Jesus, he knew death couldn't hold him. The foreknowledge of his resurrection brought joy. Go to Hebrews. Hold your place there in Acts, because we always come back to that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a wonderful, wonderful verse of Scripture. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I hope you know your Bible so you can find these verses of Scripture easily with us, and if not, just write them down so that you can look them up later. We were just in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We also read from Acts 13, verse 34 through 37. We started back in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. And then the 28th verse of the second chapter of Acts is a quote from David, Psalm 16:11. And now we're in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening. Verse 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. In other words, even the cross was coming, he still knew the joy that was there. And thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. With thy countenance. So that with thy countenance is kind of beholding thy face. The joy, the honor, the happiness. Because of the exalted position he now occupies with his Father, he could see that in view of the glories that were set before him. Jesus could rejoice in spite of the suffering, the pain that lay ahead. We should do the same. We should see the joy that has been given us, the opportunities of eternal life to be with the Lord Jesus and with all those believers to enjoy each and every day. So no matter what's going on today, ask God for the strength that you need. Ask God for the wisdom. Ask God to direct you. And the only way you can do that is if you're born again. You have got to be born again to have these opportunities. But you can possess that joy. You can hold that joy today. So look past the burdens of the day. Look past the headaches and the aches and pains that you have. Look past those and look for the joy that is set before us. Jesus did it. And Jesus was facing the cross. Facing the cross. Revelation 3:21. I love to be all over the Word of God. Enjoy it. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and is set down with my Father in his throne. Please, understand that the burdens of the day are nothing compared with the glory of tomorrow. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. You know, back here in Acts, from the 22nd verse, where it says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, through the 28th verse, Peter gave the story of how those that are listening, these Jews here, had rejected and crucified the Lord Jesus. Christ, the Son of the living God. But as we look to John, let's go over to John chapter 6, verse 69. John chapter 6, verse 69. A lot of verses in that chapter. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, have not I chosen you 12? One of the 12, one of you is a devil. See, one of them didn't even believe. We believe. This is what Peter said here. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now that we come over here and we begin the study, we see that we kind of move, because back in the 22nd verse, if you'll notice, he says, ye men of Israel, I'm back in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Acts 2, 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by the miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So, you see, Peter acknowledged that he is Christ, the Son of the living God. But here, he uses the humble, lowly name of Jesus of Nazareth. We should call him by his proper name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:36. Look at this one, Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Let's go to John, chapter 5, verse 36. John 5. John 5:36. But I have greater witnesses than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. In the 14th verse of John, there's so much evidence that he is the Savior, not to mention the resurrection. John 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. All they needed to do was to read and understand Isaiah 53. That's where we'll start next time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?